bed, but only two other people. This is Corey. I'm joined here with Jeff and Roberto. We are going to jump into a news story.
We have some news stories and some emails.
We have all sorts of fun stuff.
Yeah, but first, we're not going to jump into some news stories. Corey was lying there. First, we got Skype out just a few seconds ago, and first we're gonna make a phone call. So let me just bring, because Dale's not with us, but we're gonna try to get him. Let me try to get this. All right. So we're gonna connect right now. It's dialing.
You're calling my house.
Hi.
Hi, is Corey there?
All right.
Hello?
Okay.
Dude, do not call my house.
Wrong number, folks. Wrong number. How did that happen? All right. Now, actually, we're going to call Dale right now. We're going to call Dale right now.
if you hadn't hung up, I was just about to say something.
I heard the thing, but I was going to end it. But I heard who picked up the phone there, Corey.
That was my mom.
Ooh. Cool. All right,
let's
here.
Just call there.
I'm calling Dale right now. Here we go. He was at the Cornell poker game, the Cornell track game. We'll see what he's doing now. It's ringing.
We can tell.
Thank you, Captain Oaks.
You're the one that said it.
Thank you.
Dale?
Hello?
Hey, what's up? This is Teen Tech Talk. Where are you?
Hey, how you doing?
Dale, where are you now? No. Dale, are you playing poker right now?
No, I just did. I got second.
Where are you now?
I'm in a lounge thing.
Are you in a lounge? Are there people around? Are we interrupting anything?
People around.
Dude, put them on.
Are we interrupting you?
Not really.
Not really? All right, well, Dale, so what are you doing up there in Cornell right now?
I'm on a visit for track.
That's the best way you can put it?
Huh?
That's the only way you can put it?
Can we please get on to the show?
All right, Dale, quickly, before we let you go, what is your impressions about the iPod video?
I think it's just like a stepping stone. I don't think it's supposed to be anything revolutionary. It's just supposed to be something to get it out there to make people happy. But I think they're just kind of testing the market. And then they're going to see if they really want it to turn into something big and actually make a full video unit. Because I was just listening to an Engadget podcast. It was actually, they had some interesting views. They actually said that Apple might decide to become an entertainment company as opposed to a thinking company, whereas they're mainly based on computers. Now they could be moving towards like the whole television, like personal, like media market, with like just like Windows Media Center Edition, what they're doing with the new iMac.
That's a good valid point, because I think Steve Jobs is probably someone who always wanted to get into the media, since he's a big music fan.
Yeah, definitely trying to open up a new field there, just or at least Apple, especially because they've got the iPod. They probably want to get the whole multimedia thing going.
Yeah, the only thing that I don't like about two things is A, the lack of, I guess, media for TV shows you can get, but I guess that probably changed over time, and also the front row, I don't like, it's only for the iMac, which I think is pretty stupid.
No, you can get the Universal Dock Connector and allow any computer to use it.
Oh, you can?
Yeah.
For front row?
Yeah.
From one, but the news story I read, it did not say that, but.
Oh.
That, because people are petitioning, but I don't know.
Well, I've got a question. You said, that the videos and stuff were limited, but the iPod video hasn't even been shipped yet. Now, of course, they were gonna release something, or at least a good enough selection before it's released.
Well, it's already released. You can get the shows out now, because you can watch them without an iPod. But
well, yeah, but I'm saying this is still, you know, this, like Dale said, this is a testing, this is a stepping stone.
Yeah, but so I think, Dale, should we let you go now?
That's fine. I'm not really doing too much.
Oh, all right. We'll keep you on for the time being then, and you can just go when you need to go. All right?
Okay.
All right. All right, Dale.
Good luck with
that. All right. Thank you, Dale, and good luck with Cornell. Are you going to be back here tomorrow?
I'll be back later tomorrow.
All right. Well, we'll see you then.
I don't know. Maybe.
All right.
Dinner time.
All right. Sounds good.
Earlier, later, I don't know.
All right. Well, have fun, Dale.
All right.
Bye.
Okay.
Okay, that was good to get Dale on the show for a few minutes just to test Skype out. You know, just that was the first time we ever tried it, so. Well, like a second time after Corey's house. But, so we did, you know, we can, this is just for future podcasts, we can be able to do this. But, yeah. Let's keep on going with the discussion with the, iPod video. And from what I can take, some of the things, just the video not having the thing online is kind of a turnoff for me. Like, not many, there's only a few TV shows. It's only two that I, two big ones. The other ones are not that big.
Yeah, there's Lost and there's, Desperate Housewives, I believe. Is that the name of the show?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, so, there's those two. Basically all they have signed deals with is ABC and Disney. Dale said, this is a stepping stone. And, I think it's a good direction for Apple to be moving into, but I don't really think they're going to be going into the media side of things, or home entertainment. I mean, personal computing, I would think of as, you know, there's computers, there's some part of a computer in almost everything that we use today, including TVs and all kinds of aspects of home entertainment. So they can still go with the navigational beacon of personal computing.
Right, but the whole idea between Apple is that they think differently and they do everything differently. They don't follow
true.
Everything. Think different, which is what all their commercials are based on.
I think also the video iPod, just $1.99. Their videos used to be free and now they're $1.99. But you couldn't download them next to your hard drive. There's always, you know, there's ways to hack around that. There's different
right, like stuff. The trailers are pretty nice.
Let me ask y'all a question. What do you feel about the price point of an episode being $1.99 and a series being $34.99?
Do you think
that's good pricing, or?
I think a much better deal is the way that actually Microsoft, and they're doing it now with I forget the name of their whole package thing. It plays anywhere or something like that, but with also integration with TiVo to go, so where you can just you have the shows on your TiVo, you know, recorded for free, and you just put them to your computer, and then you can put them on your Windows Media enabled device, and then you don't have to pay anything.
Actually, you're not recording them for free because you're paying your cable bill every month. And actually, I was listening to the latest podcast episode of Dignation, and they were talking about whether or not it was worth it to either A, just pay your cable bill every month and get a TiVo, or B, get an iPod video and then just download this different episodes of the major primetime shows that you watch.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, you know, how much do you pay roughly for a cable? You know, $100 a month? If you've got, you know, like the digital cable,
$100
and the
a month.
HBO and all
man,
that stuff.
You're paying way too much. Satellite's way better.
Yes. Yes.
Well, that's bundled along with Roadrunner with it, which is like an extra $40 a month.
Well, you can also get, I think it's going to be broadcasters that are going to be on iTunes. Like, I read something about NBC maybe trying to partner. Because, you know, dealing with Apple is going to be a big thing for these retailers, because it's a new market if they're up to it, and like maybe CBS or something like that, Because those you can still get for free over the air, if you, you know, the old rabbit ears.
Well, yeah, that's true. Right.
And so the cable broadcasters, I don't know, but also Daily Show is somebody who's doing online things, so maybe they'll do something like that. I'd definitely pay maybe for Daily Show or things, but with the good thing, the I guess the ads are things that are out of it, but I'd
do the shows that you download on iTunes not have ads?
Yeah, they don't have ads. And
I didn't know that.
Yeah, if they had ads, it would definitely not be worth $2 at all. I would not buy it, but they don't have the ads are taken out. But also, the resolution, I guess, is not much of a big downgrade from standard definition. I think it's 360i the video is downgraded to.
Yeah, but I was talking about
420 is what normal things are put at.
Yeah, but I was listening to different podcasts and reading stories, reviews and stuff, and they were talking about when you upscale it, when you put it in full screen on your computer or even on your TV, it's perfect. You can barely see a sign of it being enlarged or pixelation.
That's probably the H.264 codec, you know, how, because it's pretty good. These broadcasts are probably running through a lot of passes and making the quality is really up to par.
Because
it's really scalable. And, but I think the video, watching the music is going to be interesting. Seeing if people will download music videos, this might not really be a big jump for music videos, because in the past, I don't know, say maybe 10 years, music videos have really gone on the slide with MTV. MTV2 MTV started moving away from music videos, and then MTV2 came out just so that they could play videos just on that channel. And MTV was for, you know, like, you know, the real life and that stuff.
Well,
but now MTV2 is just the same thing as MTV, and there's no more. Exactly. You can hardly find music videos, but I still like music videos.
Music videos, at least putting them on the iPod, I don't see a big significance in it, because why? You wouldn't see yourself jogging down wherever, you know, just like where most people, you'll see people run in, they've got an iPod to their arm or whatever. You wouldn't see them holding it out in front of them and watching a music video.
Yes,
there's no need in spending an extra dollar to get the video when you're just going to be listening to it.
Well, yeah, but then again, you have some people that seriously utterly love an artist and they'll do anything. Like, they'll go to all their friends.
Well, you know, you watch a music video, I'm quoting Kevin Rose on Dig Nation, you watch a music video, you see a couple hot girls, you maybe go back and see it one more time, but after that, that's it.
It's pretty odd, because in the last, say, two, 3 weeks, I've been downloading a lot of music videos of the bands that I like, if they have them, and putting them onto iTunes, into playlists. And, you know, this is something I might get, but the music videos that I get for free, and I don't think I'd start paying it for
right.
A little more quality. Then there's also Video Pimp is an IRC channel that rips them all these music videos and posts them on IRC. That's where I get some of them. And so I like that way. The video, they can make it more, but you know, I think still for some reason it's weird that I think the music video would be better free than being paid for.
One time the music videos were actually free.
Yeah, I guess.
Well, I'm not a big person on music videos. Like, I don't own any sort of MP3 player aside from my PSP, which I use occasionally. But I'll just load up iTunes on my computer, listen to some music as I'm surfing the web or posting on my blog or doing something like that. I'm really not looking at iTunes every second that I'm listening to my music.
Right.
I think the one thing that's really holding this back, the iPod video, from achieving greatness and, you know, people actually wanting it, is the legal ability to rip your DVDs like you do CDs onto your computer in that resolution and then watch them on your iPod. But there's no legal way, because DRM.
Yeah, they've got... There's upsides and downsides to this, and unfortunately we're living in an era where everything we do is legalized by the government. Mm-hmm. And
no, well, the digital rights manage, the DRM for DVD is not put in by the government. The only thing that says you can't circumvent copyright. So if they in the new DVD standards, if they decide not to put digital rights management, because I don't know why they wouldn't, if they said didn't have DRM, then you could, you know, freely put it on your computer like you do with music. But since there is some kind of thing that is going around the copyright, and so I don't think there's a big conspiracy.
Well, actually, speaking of, I don't know what I was talking about. I remember in a second.
Well, also, one quick thing that they're doing with the, I think, either Blu-ray or HD DVD, was that one of them is not going to have region encoding, so that, like right now, if you buy, say, a DVD over in Europe, it won't play back over here in the United States because it'll say wrong region. But you don't have a PAL DVD player or TV, so I wouldn't see why, but they're going to put the encoding off, which I think is pretty a good thing. But I guess that's so that you can't get a movie from a different country, but it's still, I think it's good to not have it. It's just a pointless thing.
Well, I'm personally going to get a iPod Video, not just because I think it's cool and that I'm all for the video content, but that I don't already own an iPod. The only MP3 player I own is my PSP, which sucks as an MP3 player. And seeing as I don't previously own an iPod, I might as well go ahead and get what's out there, you know?
Right, I was looking at getting the iPod Nano, but for $50 more I could get.
That's what I was saying. Player.
Now,
I might as well go ahead and go for the gold.
The thing is, though, I already own an Arcos AV320, which is a MP3 and video player, 3.8-inch screen, 20-gig hard drive. And that thing's great. However, iTunes is just incredible for automatically syncing all files. So if I want to watch any videos, I'll end up using my Arcos. But still, for $50 more, you can get a 20-gig hard drive, or a 30-gig hard drive, rather. It's just worth it to get the extra storage space.
I think the conclusion to this would be, you know, Apple's new announcement with iTunes 6.0 and the iPod Video and the direction they're going into has its upsides and its downsides, but I think the pros outweigh the cons in this story because they're doing, for the most part, everything right. And I think it's just a great product, and I'm definitely going to get one.
Well, the one thing I was wondering is that if you have videos already on your iPod, on iTunes, are they going to do it like they do with the photos in iPhoto? Are they going to automatically scale down the video like they do with photos so they can play on your iPod? Like, we'll do this. So I have videos on there. Are they automatically going to convert them to the resolution so they can play on the iPod? Like, as they address that, or can you only play ones that you get off iTunes, like the music videos and TV shows that have, you know, Fair Play? Are they going to only work on the iPod? That's the one thing I've been wondering about. That's the only thing I'm stopping me from maybe thinking about getting one. And also that I don't travel. I travel, you know, a few times a year, but I don't travel like a commuter. If I was a commuter, I'd probably get this. But also the Arcos is good since it's an open, you know, Linux platform, I believe. They have the newest ones have. I know
yes, the newer ones are, and there's actually independent work on getting
Linux on the old one.
Linux on the old one, yes, thank you.
Yeah, I think that's the way to go if you want to really, you know, do the best things with your hardware. Because, you know, they even talked about this in Nerd TV I watched today, the latest video episode, Robert Cringely, and that's my phone. But they talk about how the open platforms and the new and Apple keeps their things a lot of things closed, and I think that's one thing that's gonna hurt Apple. Also, going along with what they said, is that since there's a closed platform, you really can't hack a lot of things on it. It's kind of like PSP. People are going to start getting away from it and not liking it.
Two things, actually. Sorry, Corey, I'm going to interrupt
then
you.
Go ahead.
One is the iTunes or iPod Linux, and which they can allow you to use video. The other thing is, yes, iTunes does allow you to convert your videos to use on the iTunes are on the iPod.
I probably should have read that. I was looking, but I didn't, like I said, look deep enough. Thanks, Matt.
Yeah, it has. You're welcome.
Well, that would sort of contradict with what I was going to say, but I think that that's something that's really hurting all these people that are coming out with these cool gadgets and stuff, the PSP, the iPod, all these different things, is that they're keeping it so closed, and in the long run, it really is hurting them.
Yeah.
Leaving it open would just leave it to unveil cooler and cooler features by other people and would just make that product so much better. I really don't see why these corporations, Sony, Apple, and insert other names of stuff are really trying to keep this closed.
Well, I think Sony and Apple are probably they make some of the best products. I love Sony.
Most definitely.
And love Apple. They make the most innovative products, but they are the most proprietary, as in they keep everything close to themselves. Like Sony keeps all their things that they only work with Sony products, like the memory for the memory stick for the Sony camera. Yeah. It's not SD, not an open standard. It's their Sony standard. And same
it's
with
their
Apple.
Magic Gate.
Same with Apple having, you know, OS X on a Mac. But I like that. But just different. Some parts. Sometimes it gets a little annoying. But
well, I just
if somebody out there could answer the question is why they do that. I don't get what's the purpose of keeping it closed.
Money, and also, you know, they don't want to try other things. But the one thing it does work for Apple, because Apple, since they keep everything closed and everything, you know, tight-knit, it makes the experience so much better. Like, Mac OS X on a Dell would be so much worse. And, you know, just having all the things together, the way Apple does it with Steve Jobs makes it seamless and perfect. But sometimes with other companies, it doesn't work.
In addition, Apple is pretty open.
To a point. They're more open to Microsoft, but I don't think Steve Jobs, I don't think, really wants it to be more that way.
There is openness. And
there is openness. The good thing is that they have an open source kernel, Darwin, but they might have to do that with the licensing and stuff. So, they're on the Berkeley license, but they also they use the GNU C compiler and other open and X window system for X window system. Yeah, that's the GNU compiler. So they are more Microsoft. They have a lot more things going. You know, Apple is not a bad company. You know, and they do.
Oh, definitely, it's not a bad company. I never.
No, I'm just saying, as bad company as in like evil. I'm saying
that's true. Microsoft. No.
Right.
But I think we've dragged this topic out.
Yeah, so let's
to its death. Let's go on to what do you want to go on to?
I just want to talk quickly about
feedback.
We'll get back to feedback in a second. But for the front row, I said last night there might be a meet. I was thinking more of a media. I was thinking a media center kind of thing, as in AirTunes or that they have with the Airport Express. I have one of those in my room. I listen to my iTunes on my stereo and listen to podcasts sometimes. But I was hoping maybe they'd do something with that with video and have a media center kind of thing like that with like remote control. But they did it in a way that I actually don't like, and that's putting front row onto the new iMac and having the infrared remote. I'm not too hot about that. I don't think it's really something that I would want to be doing.
Well, like I said, you can still just buy the universal dock connector and get the remote. And overall, that costs $50, but it'd work fine. Did somebody have an echo? Echo, Corey?
It's not me.
From what I'm saying, from what I see on front row right here, it's saying that it's only on iMac.
Well, let's see here. Apple Remote and Apple Universal Dock.
I know the remote will work with your iPod, the iPod video, but I don't know if it's going to work. I don't see anything working with the other Macs.
I fall alone because I'm not a Mac person.
You're good on a Mac Mini or something else like that, something small that you can stow away, or an older Mac. But also, I'm not really crazy about the interface. It's not that great. It looks like it was put together pretty quickly.
Well,
considering they just got done announcing something, a week ago?
Apple does a lot of things in testing. I don't think they every time they have an announcement, they start making something new. But I don't really like how the interface is not great. It's like an iPod interface, but it's simple, but...
What's wrong with the iPod interface?
No, I'm not saying anything about that. I'm just saying they're not really thinking different for their front row, and I think front row is another thing that's pushed out too quickly. And I'm not too hot about it now, but maybe in a few versions it'll be better. But also they got to, I think they have to put in some live TV features, not just buying TV shows.
Well, one last thing I want to say before we completely kill this topic.
Yeah.
While we're on the subject of the iMac, it includes an eyesight built into it, correct?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, what I was sort of thinking about when I was bored and just surfing the internet is most people, tall people, or short people would have their monitor angled at a certain way. If you have it angled up too much, wouldn't it just point to the ceiling?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how it works.
It would have to either be angled down or something like that to where you would actually get your face in the picture.
Good point.
Suppose.
Also, one thing that I think would be that maybe would turn me on to getting something like front row.
Ooh.
I know. I was thinking hot about something else, but sorry, I'm a technosexual. But instead of having you pay $1.99 for TV, they should probably do the subscription model for TV shows. Because after you watch an episode of Lost or Desperate Housewives, are you gonna really want to go back so many times and watch it again? I think if you pay say $5 a season, it'll after the season's over or after every three episodes. It'll start deleting the episodes after it. I think I'd do something like that. But I don't know if I want to pay, you know, $2 or whatever for each episode and have it forever. Because after a while, I'm just going to delete it anyway. Just going to take up more hard drive space. So that's just my thing. But let's get into some
viewer feedback.
Listener feedback. We keep saying viewer.
But yeah, whatever.
There's no one. I hope there's no one watching me when I'm doing this podcast.
Well, you know, I don't want to. I'm not going to say the name.
All right, Corey, do you want to read the first email?
What are you eating?
A piece of bread. Corey, would you like to read the first email?
Sure. This one actually isn't an email, but I want to share with y'all. This was posted by Oliver, I do believe the same Oliver that we played a shout-out for a couple episodes back. Anyway, this was posted on the comments under one episode on the Teen Tech Talk website, teentechtalk.com. To help Corey in the hack definition, Corey is right in the definition of hacking. Hacking is to look at how software, servers, etc. are running and test them. There's nothing negative in the process and meaning. However, when the goal is to change the entry of a website, get hidden file, or anything that has consequences on a server, that is not hacking, but cracking. Too bad journalists, TV, radio, etc. just are doing the mistake where hack equals crack. Hey, Corey, looks like everyone worked against you, but stay strong. I'm with you. I'm using toothpaste and or that cream to clean pans with a kitchen towel work pretty fine on my 20-gigabyte iPod.
Brasso.
Sincerely, Oliver.
Well, Oliver, glad to hear the feedback on the hacking definition, I guess. I think there's many definitions ways you can take it. And glad to see you use our crazy schemes to take your iPod.
It's glad that you trust us.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right, and we got a lot of emails. It's surprising. We have one from Taiwan, from Madar. Let's see if I pronounced these names wrong. Sorry. And he just said that, talked about RAM and saying that a lot of the RAM is, the prices are in the production of, you know, development, research and development of the chip, and then most of it, once they make the die,
right.
It just gets, it's practically cheap, really cheap to do, but many Asian companies, countries, make it so you can't undersell and undercut your competitors by making it extremely cheap. So when the others are developing more, it's just gonna, you know, it'll hurt the businesses. And also, he wants us to give a shout out to his website, nakedpresident.com. So check that out.
Let's check that and see how safe it is.
It's it seems like an e-bombs world. So check it out. I was looking at it before. There's some funny things in there. So you should definitely check that out. At nakedpresident.com.
Whoa.
Let's see here.
And it's not George. I'll tell you that. And it looks like Doug. Corey has a secret admirer named Doug. And he's in love with Corey, I'll tell you that. So you can just. He's just one of the people who are in love with Corey. Just put that out there.
Wow. Okay.
Our one listener, Venom388, asked us a question. He said, "Hey guys, love the show. He's got a simple question. He's traveling to Hawaii in December and he lives in Australia right now. And he's looking to buy a new gadget. I guess he can't buy the gadgets in Australia. But he's looking either to get a 20 gigabyte iPod or a Mac Mini. And he said he's having a hard time deciding which one to buy. But he travels to school every day on the bus and he would love to take his over 2,000 song music collection with him. But he would also like to turn his Mac Mini into a media center kind of thing. And he wants us to decide for him. So I'll give my thing. I think maybe now with the new iPod Video, that it might be a good idea to get the iPod Video. If you're on the bus, I don't know how long your bus ride is. But I'd maybe go for the iPod Video if you're going to be on the bus since you have something now maybe to watch. You can watch TV shows and things. And Mac Mini, also you could get the iTV, which is the video capture card for the Mac, so you can watch television shows. I don't know if it works over in Australia, but there's also the Myth TV front end for Mac OS X, so you can put this server in the background. Mm-hmm. You just put it in, like, say get a cheap capture card, you get like a Linux one or something, put it in get the Myth TV on that make a Myth TV server, put it in, you know, another room, and have the Mac Mini in front of your TV, and then you can watch, it'll stream it over, and you can watch it on your TV. That's a good thing, but I think the best thing maybe to get would be the iPod Video. What do you think, Corey?
Well, what I was going to say was the Myth TV front-end stuff, because most people don't like having a big old computer in their living room, or at least right in front of their TV. And the iPod Video is definitely a way to go. I realized that when he sent this email, the iPod Video had not been released yet. And
so your vote is for the iPod Video?
My vote is for the iPod Video, yes.
And Robert?
Yeah, iPod Video as well.
iPod Video, good. All right, so hope that answers your question. Respond back to us. I'm curious to know why you're going to buy gadgets here in the United States while you're in Hawaii. I don't know what the power things are, like how. Mostly, if you get it over here, you can just get the adapter, because all the Apple products have the converters are built into the power supply. So if you have a 220, you know, volt system,
it works no matter what.
It'll switch automatically. It converts all that to whatever the wattage is. So that's not a problem. So I think
voltage.
Yeah, but I think all iPods, they have support for NTSC and PAL. I don't know if Australia uses PAL or CCAM or something like that. But, so there, I hope that helps.
I have a story to talk about.
All right, go.
The PSP TV adapter. This is not going to require any modification to PSP software, which I found really cool until I actually read it. Basically, what it's going to do is it's going to plug in to the top of your iPod, PSP.
No, it doesn't plug in. It just clips over the screen.
It clips over the screen in the little screw holes that are on top of the top of your PSP. And that's usually used for, like, the armor case over your screen or whatever. And basically, it's going to be a little triangle, sort of like an overhead projector, where it'll take it'll mirror off what's being played on the screen, record it, and then a little cable will go into your TV and play it on your TV. I really don't see the need in that. Why not just update the software and use the USB cable?
That's not possible, but...
Why is that not possible?
You're trying to get video out over a USB port.
It's possible.
No.
Really?
Not without, like, some pretty insane adapterage stuff.
Okay, well, let's move on to another story. This one I really do think is super cool. A cool way to use what we've already got. Tracking cell phones for real-time traffic data. Basically, name somebody that doesn't have a cell phone, not including me. also, commutes during the day. You could track cell phones that have the new... enhanced 911 service that I talked about on my blog, that just has GPS that can pinpoint where you are mix all those together and give yourself and be able to have real-time traffic data without having to spend all the money on cameras on major freeways and roads. You can easily tell who is on those roads at that time.
I wouldn't want people tracking where I am.
Yeah, me neither.
They can track you already. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, I know, but I still... What if I have my cell phone off?
Then it wouldn't track it.
It would.
What most people don't have their cell phones off. They leave them on 24/7. They just charge them.
Good point. Yeah, it's good. I guess it's just, a hypothesis.
It's a good way, I think, instead of spending all the money to have cameras and stuff, then just to use what we already have.
Accidents and all that.
Oh, yeah, I guess. Well, they also, the one thing my XM has that they, in the cars, the Acura has it, the Acura TL, where you can, it shows on your GPS where there's traffic things. And I don't know how Yahoo Traffic Reports does it. We only have a few cities, but I guess just get it from, I don't know, I don't work for a city. I don't know anyone who does. I don't know how they do the traffic things. I guess video and other sources and in the air, so. But I guess it's a valid thing what we can do. But let's get on with, along with now, one more email, another email.
I have one.
I'll read this one real quickly. It's got a lot of questions, so we're gonna go down the list very quickly. I want you to shout out your answer quickly, in an orderly fashion. But, it's from Malakoy, and he found a show on Hacker Media, and thanks Corey for getting us on there. And, said some questions I have. He's got more than some, I'd said. But, and he asked the first question, how can you join us on the podcast on Skype? Well, you can Skype any of us. My Skype is on teentechtalk.com. You look in the badges, it says Skype me, that'll come to me. Also, you can try Corey at, just, it's easy to remember, teentechtalk is his username.
All one word.
Yeah, those are the ones you can get us at now. Oh, and Robert's.
No, I leave Skype off most of the time. It's better if you just Skype one of those two.
Yeah. And, okay. So just one of us, probably Corey. Corey's on a lot.
Yeah, I'm all, well, yeah, I'll try to be on now that we're going to be expecting people to call.
And also, we might
Skype page.
Yeah, we're gonna try to have an open mic night, Corey's idea, where you can, call in. We'll have to set up a time with people. You can call and ask questions, or also, we're thinking about getting
a TeamSpeak server. My cousin has a CS client. I can get a channel in there.
Yeah, we can try
that. Fact TeamSpeak's, decided to neglect Mac OS.
We'll just see what we can do. And also, we might try to get I'll try to get a voicemail up maybe on my account or on Corey's account. So you can leave us a message. Probably on Corey's, easy to remember.
It's Teen Tech Talk, yeah.
Yeah, so you can just leave us messages, questions, comments, and we'll play them on the air. Or even promos. If you want to plug something, you can ask us a question and we'll plug something and we'll do it. And next question is, do any of you listen or slash watch to podcasts or videocasts? I'll go with this. I listen to This Week in Tech. IT Conversations are probably my favorite ones. That's how I got into listening to podcasts. I think about a year ago, maybe a little over a year, itconversations.com. They have a lot of good, they have different shows they have, but they interview a lot of interesting people, and they also go to all of these conferences like the Web 2.0 and Gnome Dex, and they record people's speeches, and it's really interesting to listen to because, I can't make it to those conferences, and it's really great. They have Steve Wozniak, they have one up like that, and it's my phone again, and but it's a really great website. Check it out, and I think you can get also some of them off iTunes, and those are the ones that I listen to. And MacCast.
I personally like a Mac TV, which is an actual video cast. And they have a Mac-related video every day. It's generally pretty cool.
Yeah, that is cool.
That is great.
Ones I listen to or watch, Dig Nation, the videos with Kevin Rose and Alex Albrecht, MacCast, which has already been said, Today with a Techie, This Week in Tech. I'm also subscribed to Teen Tech Talk, naturally, and Security with Steve Gibson.
Yeah, I listen to that one. That was pretty good.
Oh, and of course, System, The Broken, and all the other Revision 3 projects. All
right. Next. But there's a whole bunch more. I'll post some of mine up.
Yeah, there's a bunch.
Next question is, what websites do you guys get your news from? Well, I can answer Corey's right now, and that's Dig and Slashdot. Yep. I also let me bring down my my one tab here. I use I got a plastic bug sometime. Boing Boing is a good one. Flash.dig.
Dig sometimes has older
stuff. Yeah, some people post things like I say, oh god, I've seen this, like I saw this 5 months ago, and then people repeat things. People just put different spin on it.
It definitely needs to
be
edited enough. It's a good concept of being your own editor, but it needs to be moderated a lot better.
And Slashdot's a good one, but the ones I read the most is definitely Engadget and the unofficial app weblog at tuaw.com and Engadget.com. Two great ones. And what ones do you guys do?
Let's see here. Slashdot, like everybody.
A couple
other that I found that I can't think of off the top of my head. Actually, the major news sources, like Reuters, mm-hmm. Under their tech section, that's pretty good. That gets some other stuff that isn't huge tech news, but it's still related.
Yahoo News gets a lot. I used to go there a lot, and I still go there sometimes, because they get a lot of things from Associated Press and Reuters and Ziff Davis.
Yeah, I'm definitely a big fan of a lot of the blogs out there. Boing Boing. Engadget.
Fark's good sometimes.
Fark.
Definitely.
For a laugh.
But then you're blogging about a blog.
Yeah. And being honest.
Yeah, and Dig and Slashdot. Most common ones.
Yeah, there's a lot of things. And
but we can't reveal all of them, because then it'd be no fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, because then you would just go there and you would have already heard what we talked about.
And Malakoy also talked about Cygate personal firewall. That's from Symantec. It's free. We'll put the link up there. He also gave us a nice link from the New York Times for iPod video. Also, he also asked another question: what BitTorrent client do you use? I use Azirius.
I haven't really tried any of them, but BitTorrent, it's just simple. It gets the job done. I don't see any need in upgrading. I will probably try some of the other ones and write up something on my blog about it, but I've never tried any of the other ones, so I really couldn't say, as in which ones I like the best, considering I just use BitTorrent.
I've tried BitTorrent, Azurius, and I use KTorrent. It's for
Well,
Linux.
Jeff, let me ask you something. What makes Azurius better than BitTorrent?
Well, BitTorrent you're going to have...
Just asking.
Well, BitTorrent, when you, for each torrent file you have, you're going to have a different window, right?
Mm-hmm.
Azurius is just like, say... it's not like Kazaa, I'm saying, but it keeps all your downloads in one window and has a whole
all
bunch
the downloads in BitTorrent are in one window.
Oh, Phenom used it on, and also on the Mac version, it does in separate windows.
Windows version, it is.
But also, the Azurius has a lot more features. You can seed your own torrent from there. They have nice graphics of showing how many peers and who's seeding and how you fit into the mix, and a lot of cool features. You can have RSS. If you go to tvtorrents.com, if you say there's an RSS plugin that you can, it'll automatically, you say, type in keywords like Daily Show, Lost, Desperate Housewives, Simpsons, and it'll get the RSS feed from tvtorrents.com and automatically download those shows when they're added to the RSS feed. And so that's another cool feature. I like Azurius, it's the best, and it's a Java client, so it works on any system.
One is from Rounded. IP hockey? Rounder dip hockey?
Yeah, I tried to read it. It took me a while to read, but it's someone.
A guy that listens to our podcast. Hey, I have an old Mac.
Could be a girl.
Mac. That's true. And right now I am running OS 10.3.9 with the latest version of QuickTime. However, I tried to play the new Apple announcement and the sound came in and out and the movie was extremely jerky. I couldn't really follow what was happening. Then I tried to play Jeff's movies and the one with Dale and Jeff, but I had the same problem. Is this because they're in high def or is it something else? Thanks, guys, and keep up the good work.
I actually witnessed this firsthand for myself. Before I got this email, I was down in Florida this week and visiting my brother, and he has a 800 megahertz iBook G3, and we were set up a wireless network in our hotel room. We paid for wireless, just for internet. And when I was trying to watch the video cast on Wednesday of Steve Jobs' the announcement of the iPod video, I was trying to watch it on his iBook, and the quality was extremely jerky, and it was like, it was, the audio was, I think, all right, but the video was, kept stopping every few seconds, and it was really jerky and like shaky, and I couldn't watch it more than like 30 seconds, and I just had to turn it off. But then when I went onto the PowerBook and tried to watch it, it was crystal clear, and it wasn't the internet that was the problem. It was definitely the hardware, and I think the problem has to do, I don't know what kind of Mac this is, but I'm guessing it's going to be a G3, probably not in the gigahertz, but the H.264 compression is really processor intensive. For my Mac Mini, when I play HD movies, like pure HD, like in 1080i, and like no compression, it plays smoothly. But when I compress it in H.264, the quality, the speed, and the frame rate, my computer can't handle it, and the quality comes really bad. So H.264 is really processor intensive, and I think the problem is with the computer is too slow and can't handle up, you know, handle the video compression. And any other thing, do you think, Robert?
No, nothing off the top of my head.
All right. Well, I think that's all the emails we had, correct?
Yep. Except for Joe Cool Dude that says he loves me, but other than that, yeah,
yes.
That's about it.
Robert has, I mean, sorry, yeah, Corey has two people who are big fans of him. And, you know, any more people with that. But also another thing I want to mention is that we're looking for a new intro. I think most people will agree that the intro is pretty shoddy. Would you agree?
Yes.
Yes, it is. And so, I'm going to offer up, just for now, a prize, a small prize. Maybe I'll throw some more in. If you can send us in, any of our listeners out there, I don't care what quality is, you can make, making GarageBand or Vegas or some kind of mixing thing, or just any
Audacity
or anything, or just, you know, just if you make an intro for us, and we can use it as the closing also, as we do now, and I'll send you a free case of Balls Guarana 12-pack, maybe I'll make you a 24-pack. it's valued at like $27, and maybe I'll throw in some other stuff, some T-shirts from like ATI or Western Digital, or some toolkits from Corsair. I can throw you in some stuff, and that'll be our prize to anyone who does that. And maybe we'll I hope to give some more prizes away. We'll have some more quizzes. We'll have some quizzes later on. But I really will give you a big prize pack if you can make us a an intro and send us an email.
And if it's the best.
And if it's the best. If it's just anyone, if we choose to use it, and you know, it can't be, if you're going to use music, make sure it's pod safe and it's not copyrighted, and so we don't get in trouble. But if anyone wants to do that, be free, and we'll send you some prizes and stuff, and it would be greatly appreciated. Because I'm.
So.
Yeah, just send us an email. Shoot us an email.
Yeah, we need to start wrapping this up.
Yeah, and so we're going to wrap this up.
Yeah. Email addresses. You can email us the podcast at teentechtalk@gmail.com. The website, teentechtalk.com. I don't know if any of you can contact us on Skype at teentechtalk, all one word. Personally, me, I don't care if you contact me personally. Snyder with a 3. On AIM, and my email address is corey.hold@gmail.com. Any other things you want to say before we close this out?
You can contact me, just press Skype me on the website, on the site. You can also IM me, that'd be great. My IM is Fantastine, it's F-A-N-T-A, then a space, and S-T-I-N-E. And you can IM me on most of the day when I'm not at school. But that'd be great, and I think this is an interesting podcast.
Yes, and
a lot of new things out. But next week Dale will be back, and we're trying to get new features and stuff in, and I hope you like the changing artwork and the links down there.
Yeah, that's definitely gonna help out this podcast, especially since we talked about a lot, and if you find that we're rambling or on a topic that you don't like, you can just click on the little arrow and skip to the next topic.
Yeah, that's
so I think cool that's things. Definitely a great feature that we can implement into each episode of Teen Tech Talk.
Yeah, and so if you have iTunes, and say if you're listening to this podcast I definitely subscribe via iTunes so you can get all these new features. And, if you just get them from the website, but I take it to get the cool artwork that I like. And so, I think with that, we should wrap it up, right?
Alright.
Yep, thanks. Thanks everybody for listening. See you next.
Sticking with us.
Yep.
Alright, bye.